Well, good morning and welcome to our time together this morning at Hillcrest Bible Church. Thank you, Susie, for our introduction. And we have very brief announcements for this week. Evening communion service tonight at 6 o'clock. And then the Tuesday Bible Institute continues. Anyone can come to that. And it is a good training on the whole worldview issue that each and every one of us faces every day. And then Wednesday, of course, the midweek time of study, a continuing study of David, will be on Wednesday evening this week. And that all that information is on the website. Taylor?
Good morning. Please join me after a second here of reading. So this is Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations, and thou hast established the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. We are his, the sheep of his pasture. Amen. We're going to start with Trinity 50. That's Trinity 50. Please stand.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters the under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires have been granted in what he ordained? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty will do. If with his love he befriend thee, praise thou the Lord who with marvelous wisdom hath made thee. Deck thee with health and with loving and guided and stayed thee. How oft in grief hath not he brought thee relief, spreading his wings to worship thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly, for I re-adore him.
Father, we do praise you for the multitude of your gifts, for they are amazing. Your mercy and the ways that you prosperous, but most of all, that you prosper us in yourself. That is the greatest riches, is your great love toward us. So we have much that we are thankful for, and we have much that we rejoice in you for. But most of all, help us to rejoice in you yourself and praise you because of it. We thank you. Thank you for this day. I ask that you would strengthen us in your word, in the hearing of it, and the receiving of it, and the being good ground for it. Lord, that you would strengthen us in the fellowship we have here because of you, that we would turn each other more and more to you, that you would be blessed and glorified in all that is said and done here. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, this morning we are not continuing in Ephesians. I think for everyone that was here last week, you know that Pastor finished Ephesians last week. And so we're going to look this morning at Luke chapter 17, the account of the 10 leopards. And I'm going to read from chapter 17 of Luke, starting at verse 8 down through 19. So this is a little introduction to the actual paragraph. I'm reading from New King James this morning. Please follow along. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and have drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were leopards, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.
Well, we indeed finished up Ephesians last Sunday, and today I'm going to give a message a week early, because I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving. And I do that because Ben Brooks and Daniela and little Ezra, and there's a baby yet to come with this family. But they are going to be here in our midst, and we have asked Ben to speak 3 times, so 3 Sunday mornings, the next 3 Sunday mornings, he will be preaching here. Ben Brooks has attended Hillcrest for several years, many years before he went to attend the Master's Seminary. Met Daniela, and they moved to Columbia, and Ben has continued his studies, and he will return and complete those studies in May of this year. But we want him to come. We want him to preach. We want you to hear him. Ben has a history with me because he is one of my students at when I was teaching at Westside 100 years ago or so. And Ben is probably the smartest student I ever had. But more than that, he's a wonderful person. And when I met Daniela, I told Ben, I've always loved you, but I love her more than I love you, because she's really sweet. You'll love to see her again. But anyway, they will be here for the next 3 weeks, and then they return to Columbia. They have been away from us. They were supposed to come back last summer, but they've been away because of visa issues with all the visa problems taking place in our country. And so they were not able to enter. And it's one of the reasons why they left for Columbia in the first place. So anyway, this is a great thing for them to come and to be with us and be praying for Ben as he speaks. And we will enjoy that ministry. Also, Matthew and Peter, both the other elders, are not with us today because of business and helping a friend travel across this country, taking things to another place. So that's why they are absent today. So you can be praying for them as well. Pray for one another. Pray for those who are in physical need. Pray for the Lord's blessing. Pray for our country. Pray for that we as a nation will return to being thankful to God. That's a great hope that we have, but more to be said about Thanksgiving. But let's bow in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, for you are the living God. We're thankful that you created this world, you own this world, you rule this world, you designed this world, not only in the physical design of everything, but also in the ethics and morality of this world. We live in your world, and it is a great shame upon humanity that so many do not recognize you and give you the glory and give you the thanksgiving that you so rightly deserve as the God of this world. And we pray that you will establish your rightful rule once again. And we pray that you will, in the meantime, save many people by your grace and open their hearts to see the truth and give them the light of your truth so they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. So we pray for our world that is in such great need. And the need is for you. And we pray that you will bless and you will provide. We thank you for the ministries of Trinity Bible Church and Grace Bible Chapel in Japan and Hillcrest Bible Church and all the other churches that faithfully preach the gospel message and preach your truth. We pray your blessing upon them and pray that you would strengthen them, and we pray that you would encourage them to be faithful to you. And we pray that you'll be with our shut-ins, and we pray that you would encourage their hearts. We pray that you would bless them and be with Tony and Joey, and we pray for Jeff, and thank you for the report that he has received, and we give you the glory. And Dan and Dawn and Sue, and pray that you will heal these ones and bless them, and just be with the needs of one another here. That are sick and suffering. We pray that you would be with Matthew and Amy as they're away, and Peter as he is traveling. We just pray that you would provide for them as well. And we're thankful that we can be here this morning. We're thankful for the fellowship that we have together, the love that we have for one another. We pray that you will continue to be with us and guide us and bless us. We pray that you would conform each one of us more and more to be like Jesus Christ. We thank you for that work that you have begun in us when we were first saved, and you shall make us to be holy like Christ. And then we shall be crowned with your glory when Christ returns. What a great hope we have. So we thank you for your finished work, and we give you the praise and glory for all that you're accomplishing. So bless our service this day, and may we be thankful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join me from grace number 176, Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save what Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, my presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I have with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou, my great Father, I, Thy true Son, Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and Thou only first in my heart, I, King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. I, King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, so bright heaven's sun. Heart of mine own heart, whatever before, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Well, as we all know, Thanksgiving is a national celebration to Almighty God for his many blessings. It is a day to thank the God of the Bible for his faithful and loving care. And it is an American celebration. The first day of Thanksgiving was actually in New England. In 1620, the Pilgrims arrived in the Mayflower and established the Plymouth Colony. In the next year, 1621, the grateful colonists celebrated the first harvest with the helpful Wampanoag Indians. Easy to say that name, Wampanoag. But they celebrated with the Indians, and they celebrated because God had blessed their harvest. And in a couple of years later, 1623, the first really determined civil day of Thanksgiving in New England tradition was established in Plymouth Colony. At first, the celebration of Thanksgiving was sort of a local celebration. During the Revolutionary War, General George Washington proclaimed a Thanksgiving Day in December of 1777 as a victory celebration over the British at Saratoga. But the modern celebration and national celebration was established by Abraham Lincoln during the American Civil War in 1863. In the midst of this dreadful war, he proclaimed the last Thursday in November as the day of thanksgiving and praise to the beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And Lincoln wanted the nations to praise God for his providential care, for his blessings, even in the face of war. But today, many Americans, sad to say, look at Thanksgiving as just another holiday. It's a special time when family and friends gather together and have a turkey dinner. And they are thankful for one another and thankful for the blessings that they have received during the year. But it seems like the focus is more on the blessings received than the giver of those blessings. But when you open your Bible, and when you're a Christian, your Bible opens you up to a whole new world, a world where God is the creator, the designer, the origin of all things, the providential keeper of all things, the sovereign, almighty God. And it's not just good for Thanksgiving to be focused on God. It is right for Thanksgiving ultimately to end, for all Thanksgiving to end with God. He's the creator, he's the savior, he's the king. Everything is totally dependent upon him. We are totally dependent upon him. Everything, our existence, our life, our blessings, our everything. And Thanksgiving is not just for us once a year. I am certainly thankful that our nation observes a national day of Thanksgiving. I think that is right. Our founding fathers would certainly agree with that. They said that our nation cannot exist because of a piece of paper, the Constitution of the United States. It's more than a piece of paper, it's a great piece of paper. But they said our nation will not survive because of a piece of paper. It cannot hold us together. What holds us together is that we are a religious people, meaning we are a Christian people. In many ways, too many ways, our nation has turned its back upon God and walked away. And we deserve his judgment. But we pray for his revival of his church and for his awakening of the lost. We may not be many as Christians. We may not be many, but we are still here. And when we are still here, we are praying with thanksgiving to God for his grace and mercy. Thanksgiving really is based on faith in Christ and our dependence upon our sovereign God. And this morning, since Thanksgiving is 11 days away, I want to focus our attention to the true meaning of Thanksgiving. And let me begin just with the word Thanksgiving. And I recently at school heard someone came to chapel and spoke, and they gave a message, and they spoke of the distinction between gratitude and giving thanks. And they said that gratitude was perhaps a deeper sense of this gratefulness that we have to God, and thanksgiving is really the expression of that. So I was sort of interested, and I went and studied a little bit about that, and I found out that both of those words, thanksgiving and gratitude, are actually the same Greek word in the Bible. And it's eucharistia, eucharistia, that's the noun. Eu means well, and charistia means to give freely. And it's related to charis, which is grace. So the meaning of Eucharistia, or giving thanks, it means to do so, to do well in freely giving thanksgiving and honor to God. And it's interesting, tonight we're going to talk a little more about this, it's interesting that the Lord's Supper is called the Eucharist, Eucharistia. It's called, really, the Lord's Supper, and I think this is an appropriate name for the Lord's Supper, though we tend to think of it more with the ceremony. But the Lord's Supper, if you call it the Eucharist, you're calling it the Thanksgiving. And what that means is when you come and celebrate the Lord's Supper, you are to come with thanksgiving as you celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's not just a remembrance, it's a remembrance with thanksgiving, which is what we as Christians have. So that's a good way of remembering that. But what's important is to remember the object of thanksgiving. And the blessings given and received are often the cause of thanksgiving. The blessings that we have and that we have received from God are the cause of being so thankful to Him. But God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one God in three persons, is the object of our thanksgiving. We are well-doing, doing well and giving thanks when we give thanks to Him. We will give thanks to God who will gives graciously to us. Let me say that again. We will give thanks to God who will gives graciously to us and provides for us. But there's something about this. I want you to turn to Luke 17 and look about in this passage, to look and see what thanksgiving actually means. Jesus is talking in this passage to his disciples, and in verse 4 he's talking about forgiveness. In verse 4 of this chapter he says, and he's talking about someone who sins against you, if he sins against you seven times in a day, the same day, and seven times in a day returns to you and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said, this is really, increase our faith. We have to do that? Seven times the same sin, and seven times the person comes and says, I repent. Usually we sort of think maybe three times at best. First time, it's you're forgiven. Second time, it would be okay, but let's not be doing that again. The third time, it was in, like three strikes and you're out. Don't come repenting with that kind of record. Seven times? Seems that we should receive a medal. A Christian medal. I forgave seven times. We could at least show that. But instead, they didn't say, give us a medal. They said, you have to increase our faith. Increase our faith for that. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you may say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots, and it will be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. You just need a little faith. Christianity is about a little faith. If you had a little faith, you could be thrown trees in the ocean, planting them in the ocean. But then he says something very interesting, because he talks about the service of a servant or the service of a slave. The word is slave, doulos. And which of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you eat and drink? That sounds a little strange. Here's the one that's out in the field working. He's probably coming home. He's tired, probably hungry and everything. And you would think that you would say, well, sit down and have something to eat. And then, no, that's not, he's a servant. He is determined to serve, and to serve is what he does. Verse 9, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And he says, I think not. You know, I first read this, I think, you know, that's a little hard, isn't it? I mean, shouldn't he say thank you for the work in the field? And shouldn't he say thank you for serving dinner? Seems to me that he should, but he says, I think not. But he's speaking about this, he's back thinking about this seven times forgiveness in a day. But he says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, like forgiving someone seven times in a day, say, we are unprofitable slaves, servants. We have done what was our duty to do. don't think you need more faith. Do your duty. We are wonderful things in relationship to God. We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. It's wonderful to be the slaves of God, because that means we're obligated by duty to be obedient to Him. We are children of God, sons of God, the beloved of God, all these great blessings. But also, when Jesus Christ says, "This is what I command you to do," we do that not expecting a great reward, not expecting to be thanked, but expecting that we understand, and the disciples should understand, we forgive somebody seven times. That's our duty. If Christ gives the command, that's what we do. And we don't get a reward, we don't get recognition, we don't even get thanked. Now notice, it's in that context. Look at the next story. Now it happened as he passed to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. That's what lepers do. Lepers would stand afar off, and if you came near to them, they would yell, "We have leprosy! Leprosy! We're lepers!" Because everyone would stay away. They didn't want to come anywhere close to those who are lepers. And they lifted up their voices, and said, "Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I don't know if they got together and said, "We got to say this all together because he's got to hear us." So we are all at one, two, three. They're all going to say this together. I don't think they were all just crying out. It was probably trying to get his attention, knowing that he can heal, knowing that he is healing all who come to him in the multitudes that gathered. So he's seen. Verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now let me stop there just for a moment. Go show yourself to the priest. Okay, they have leprosy. Jesus says, "Go show them to the priest." Well, you go to show the priest. The priest is sort of like the, not a doctor, but sort of the doctor who recognizes that you've been healed. You go when you're healed. You don't go when you have leprosy. But he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." So these men, they look at themselves. "I have leprosy. Go show myself to the priest. Jesus commanded me to do something." Get this. He commanded me to do something that is impossible. The priest will not even come near us. We have leprosy. So what did they do? They said, "We're not going to. We need to be healed now." They didn't say that. They didn't say anything. What'd they do? They went. They went? Yeah, they go. They go. They go, "Where are you going?" "To show ourselves to the priest." And people saw them, and if they said that to the people that saw them, the people that saw them would say, "You don't really need to go show them the priest because you've got leprosy. I can tell you that right now. The priest is going to tell you the same thing that I'll tell you." He said, "No, we're going." And so it was that they went. That's an amazing statement that follows. And so it was that they went. And as they are going, they are cleansed. They are healed. That must have been an interesting walk. They're going to show themselves to the priest. And as they're walking, they're kind of like, "I feel a little different here. Lo and behold, as I'm going, I'm being healed." You know, Jesus' miracles usually were instantaneous. So take up your bed and walk. But this is a walking, and they're healed as they go. But one of them has a story to tell. Verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, He returned with a loud voice. A loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So there's several things that are interesting. The one that was going when he was healed said, "Well, I'm going to go give it to the. I'll go see the priest. I don't know if he saw the priest or you know, but it seems like it's as he was going and he was healed. He turns around, he comes back, and he comes back to Jesus. And this time he comes close because he's healed. And he, with a loud voice, is glorifying God. And it's not telling us what he's saying, but I'm sure he's saying, I had leprosy, and Jesus healed me. I was covered with leprosy, and Jesus healed me. Glory be to God. And then he falls down on his feet at his face, falls down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And boy, this is really strange because he is a Samaritan, and the Samaritan and Jews had nothing to do with one another, but this Samaritan is overwhelmed with this Jewish man that he's standing in the presence of, and he says, "Thank you, God." So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Now again, when I first read this, to me, I'm sort of amazed when I read Scripture, because it's like, it seems that he should say, "Thank you." Didn't he? "Thank you. Thank you for recognizing that you've been healed by me." And he should thank this one who comes. But instead, he says, "Where are the other 9? You know, like, this man doesn't matter, the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he recognized that he's a Samaritan. He draws attention to the fact that they don't really have anything to do with one another. Culturally speaking, they don't have anything to do with one another. So again, this is when he says something about this one, he's mentioned as a foreigner. And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, the other thing that's funny about that is his faith did not make him well. God made him well. Jesus made him well. Jesus is God. And he didn't say, "You shouldn't worship me, and you shouldn't thank me, and you shouldn't praise me." He says, "Rise, go your way," and he really, in a sense, commends him or thanks him for his faith. "Your faith has made you well." And that's interesting because Jesus has just talked about the disciples and he said, you're duty bound to be obedient to God. And yet God recognizes the faith of this man. The faith in going and doing, walking off with leprosy to go see a priest who will affirm that you have leprosy no more. Your faith saved you. And that's an amazing thing for Jesus to say, because he should have said, "I saved you. I healed you. I healed you. Arise, go your way, because I healed you and I made you well." And this statement that "I made you well" has sort of the ramification with it that he's not only made well physically, but made well spiritually. So it may well be that we see this healed leper in heaven when we get there. It's amazing. But what is he saying in this whole, why is this passage connected to him saying, does he thank that servant because he did that which was commanded him? I think not. And what Jesus isn't saying is, I'm a servant of God too. I'm a slave of God too. He could say that. He submitted himself to God. I have submitted myself to God, so I'm simply doing here what is right for me to do. So I don't thank me. But he never said that. In fact, what he said is, for there's the other nine should be here thanking me for doing what I did for them and for this one. Where are the other nine? They should all be here thanking me. Well, Jesus said, we don't thank. Are you going to thank your slaves and servants for doing what they are committed and agreeing to do? You look at this and say, this is very interesting. What Jesus is saying is, God is always worthy of the worship. The worship was always focused on God. Jesus didn't say to this man, get up. I've been just doing my duty as far as what God is concerned. But that's what I say. That's what I would have to say. If I preach and I teach, and if you live and you honor the Lord, and as you walk with God and everything else, you say, I've just done my duty. If I forgive someone who comes to me seven times and offends me seven times in one day and repents seven times in one day and I forgive him, I don't look for God to come and say, thank you, Gary, what a wonderful thing you have done. I have simply done my duty. And God has no obligation to thank him. The end statement, it says, your faith has made you well, gives the impression that now God is looking and really almost thanking this one. But one of the clear things that Jesus is saying here is, though I say, I am here, I've come to do my Father's will, but it is right, and the other ten should be here thanking me, because it is always right to thank God. Always right to thank God. And so Jesus rebukes his disciples, and they want to increase of faith. You don't get a lot of increased faith by more than these 10 men who go off with leprosy when they said, go proclaim and go see the priest. They have leprosy when they walk off, and when they are walking, they have every reason to sit down and say, that was a waste of time. But they're healed on the way. And this one comes back praising God. Why? Because it's right. And God should be praised. And he's doing his duty. And we doing our duty. When we come before God, it is right for us to give him the praise and the honor and the glory that he so richly deserves. For what? For creation, for salvation, for the kingdom of God, for all that God is accomplishing in our hearts and lives, for everything that we have ever received as a blessing in our lives, for the gifts that God has given to us. We should be a people before him. And one wonders on Thanksgiving Day, when America is celebrating Thanksgiving, whether the Lord is saying, where are the other nine? Just this one comes? It's interesting to think about that. But God, only God in Christ, is worthy of our thanksgiving and glory. Not duty-bound Christian slaves to Christ. That's a wonderful truth. And I want to end this. But I want to give you four verses. I want to give you four aspects of thanksgiving that should always be true. I'm going to give you a verse for each one. We're going to have a little Bible drill here. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. And by this passage, I want you to say, thanksgiving to God is appropriate in every circumstance of our lives. And when I say that, you should say, whoa. Thanksgiving to God is appropriate in every circumstance of our life. Verse 16 in this Thessalonians passage says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks. Every circumstance, in everything. In everything that happens to us, in everything that happens to us, it's the will of Christ Jesus for us. What this means is that Thanksgiving Day, a great day for a nation, but Thanksgiving Day is every day for us. It's every day, in every situation. You say, well, bad things happen to us. And I never, I've said this many times to you, and I'll say it many more times, I hope. I never look at bad things and say bad things are really happy things. I look at bad things and I say bad things are bad things. I don't like bad things. When people get sick, I don't like it. When I get sick, I don't like it. When people suffer, I don't like it. When things about this world take place, I don't like it. Bad is bad. It's always bad. So I don't put a happy face on bad. I just don't. I call it for what it is. But then I say this. And this is the contradiction that I always say, or I always want to say. God is always good. And God is always sovereign. He is always in control. There's nothing that ever happens apart from Him. And evil is responsible for evil. And God is the sovereign God in control of everything. But God is never responsible for evil. Never. There's a mystery there. You say, well, how can you be in control of everything? And when evil happens, you're not in, that's not your fault. I don't know. We'll have to ask God that question when we get to heaven because we don't have enough information. But I just know this. It's always good. Well, Joseph spoke to his brothers. They came and they said, when dad died, the brothers said, you know, Joseph's going to kill us now because we tried to kill him. And Joseph said, you know, what you did to me, God, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Did Joseph understand that it was good when he was riding or walking probably in chains to Egypt? Probably not. When he was falsely accused and thrown into an Egyptian prison, probably not rejoicing on those things. But when he was forgotten for several years, a couple of years, probably not. He was probably not saying, you know, everything that's been happened to me is really good. He looks at everything. I'm really at the bottom of the barrel. I'm always at the bottom. I it can't get worse for me. But God meant it for good. Does that mean that God caused his brothers to want to murder him? Did God cause his brothers to sell him into slavery? Did God cause Potiphar's wife to accuse him and have him been thrown in prison? Did God cause the cupbearer to forget him for a couple of years? No. But God is a sovereign God. Nothing happens apart from him. Exactly. So when he looks at his life, he says to his brothers, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That many lives should be saved. He had no intention of killing his brothers. In every circumstance, you know that you are growing in Christ when you look at the circumstances that are bad and you say, but I know that God is good. And God causes all things to work together for good, which doesn't mean that he puts a happy face on the things that are evil. It means that God is always at work in us. Somebody comes and says, this has happened to me. What do you think? And I say, I don't know. I have a great answer. I don't know. I don't know why this happened to you. I don't know why the difficulties happen to us as Christians. Seems to me when you become a Christian, all our problems should go away. That'd be a great a great testimony that we could have. We have no problem. Become a Christian, your problems vanish. Instead, we say when you're a Christian, you still have the problems that you have like everyone else has in this world. But you have the assurance that God is good and that God is accomplishing his purposes. And you always have the great story of salvation and your salvation, that God has saved you and he saved you to make you holy and to have you forever. And one day we're going to be like Joseph and we're going to look back on all the difficulties in our life and we're going to say, "And you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Because there we are in glory, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, clothed in the holiness of Christ, clothed in the glory of Christ. So in every circumstance, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, be thankful. Secondly, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'll try to move through these other two a little more quickly than I did that one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. No anxiety, no worry. Not to worry. But in everything, it's not just stop worrying, but there's always a stop worrying and start doing this. By prayer and supplication, take all your worries and cast them upon the Lord. With thanksgiving. Why the with thanksgiving? Is that sort of presumption? Dear Heavenly Father, I have a problem. I have a difficulty. Can you please take this away? Can you remove this from me? Whenever I have a problem, the first prayer is, can you deliver me from this problem? And sometimes God will deliver us from that problem. And sometimes he will give us peace. But always he gives us something. He provides. And sometimes there's a reason for the difficulty that only God may know, that we will never know. But let your request be made known to God and say, dear God, please deliver me from this. And I'm thankful for the day that will come when I'm in glory that you will deliver me from this. I'm thankful that this, though it may be the rest of my life, though it may be this, I'm thankful that one day you shall deliver me from all of this. I'm thankful also that you have delivered me from the greatest problem, which is sin and death, and that you have saved me through Christ alone. So I'm thankful for the blessings that you give. And God says, when you come and you should be worrying, cast your every care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast every care, but with thanksgiving, with an attitude of thankfulness to God, because he's the God who always answers. And it says here in this passage, and the peace of God, which surpasses all things, will, and I'm thankful it doesn't say bless your hearts. It says guard your hearts. Guard your hearts from what? From being attacked and assaulted by Satan and thinking that God is bad or God is doing something bad or God doesn't care for you, God doesn't love you. No. Cast your care upon him and he will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, when you pray, always pray with thanksgiving. Always pray with thanksgiving. Don't pray with worry. Take the worry, cast it upon the Lord. Pray with thanksgiving. always be reminded of that in Philippians. Two other things. When you're thanking God, thank God for his nature. Thank God for who he is. And I'll give you a great verse for this. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Bless his name. His name is his attributes. But look, just keep reading if you don't think so. Bless his name, for God is good. He's blessing his name right now. For God, the Lord, is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His loyal love is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. So when you come into the Lord's presence, and that's speaking in the Old Testament times, when they came to the tabernacle, they were to come to the tabernacle with thanksgiving. Why? Because God is good. Because God's loving kindness never fails. Because his faithfulness continues to all generations. That's thanking God for who he is. And we can always thank God for his nature. We can always thank God for who he is. And sometimes when we pray, that's the last thing that we mention in our prayers. We tend to focus on the problems that we have that are very real, that are screaming in our face. You got a problem. So you go to God and say, I got a problem. And we forget to be thankful to God for what he is, because all that he is the solution to all of our difficulties and all our problems. Ultimately, and sometimes in this life, but ultimately always. So we pray with thanksgiving. It's not presumption. So we don't say, Lord, please take this away. And I thank you for taking it away, because I know you will someday. I thank you that this difficulty in my life is not going to overwhelm my faith, overwhelm me. It can overwhelm, it can take my life, it cannot take my faith, it cannot take the blessings, it cannot take the eternal life that you have given me. I'm so thankful for all that you've given to me, because you're good. And your loyal love never fails. Nothing can separate us from your love. And you are faithful to all generations. I'm thankful for that, because we're toward the end of the generations, I think. Or maybe. And secondly, that Psalm 100 is to thank him for his name. And lastly, thank him for his works. And this is a great passage, but Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. All the passages of the Bible are great, by the way, but this is great in what it says. It says, as therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you have been instructed, and overflowing with gratitude, overflowing with thanksgiving. But let me tell you, the action, this, I never mark in my Bible, but I marked in my Bible on this. So I can even look in my Bible and see, because I write down the action that is here in this passage. As you therefore have received, that's speaking of something that's happened in the past, actively happened, you received him. He's talking about that. He's talking to the Colossian believers. You have received Jesus Christ. So it's active. And as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. That's a command. It's a present command. It means keep on, keep on. As you have received him, keep on, keep on, keep on walking in him. Now, the rest of this is passive. It means something that has happened. The reason why you're going to do that walking is because of what God does, the work that God does in you. And I'll show you that. Having been firmly rooted. Anytime you have the word been in English before, it's not in the original language. It's in the action of the original language. It's passive. Having been rooted, and that speaks of something that has happened in the past with continuing results and continuing results whenever you look at this passage. You have been firmly rooted. God has firmly rooted you, and now being built up, it's passive. It's what God is building up. What he has rooted, he's building up. And are established is passive. Establish is a present passive, and he's continuing this to establish you in your faith, just as you have been instructed. I'm adding the been statements there because it just says as you were instructed, but that also is passive. And we're back then to the only active. What is the only active? Overflowing with gratitude. The active is you received him, and the active is continue to walk in him, and all the rest he does in you. So being rooted, being built up, being established, and being instructed is all the working of God. All what he does in you so that you can walk. And he then says, remember to be thankful. We're back to the active again. So those are his works. That's what he's doing. You should be thankful that you can walk because of the work that he's working inside of you, in you, through you, to you. And God is giving you all of this. He is continually working us that we will be thankful for all that he is doing and all that he have continued to do and all that he has done. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And God wants us to recognize, rooted in Christ Jesus, built up in Christ Jesus, instructed, established, what God is doing in us, that gives us reason to be thankful. So you look at this and you say, in every circumstance, I'm going to be thankful to God by his grace. In every circumstance, in every prayer, I'm going to be thankful to God. What does that mean? Well, thankful for who he is and thankful for what he does and what he does in me. Certainly this relates to our salvation. Certainly this relates to our eternity. It relates to our very relationship with God. We are the people of God. Well, if you were in Sunday school this morning, Scott did a good job of making it very grim. It's very grim. You can't study Nahum without being discouraged. You can't, because when you read it, you start thinking about, whoa, God is really angry with these Assyrian people who are just exactly like what we are like as a nation. Oh, boy. And there's no happiness about this. It's like we are like a people under judgment. And the judgment really has already begun. And we look at that and we say, whoa. How do we pray? Well, we pray with thanksgiving. And we may be a few people. We may be like the one of the 9 out of 10. But we are the ones who come on Thanksgiving Day and say, thank you, God, in every circumstance that we find ourselves. Thank you. And thank you that we can pray. And when we pray, we pray with thanksgiving to you for what you've done, for who you are, and the work that you accomplish. And we may be the few, but here we are. And we're praying that you will open the eyes of the blind to see and that many people will be saved. We don't deserve your grace, but we've never deserved your grace. But our nation is walking away from you. Please open the eyes of the blind to see. Quicken the churches to return to preaching and teaching the word of God, the gospel message. So we may have to carry the load of thanksgiving this Thanksgiving Day, but glory be to God, let us do so. And let us be thankful to God for what he does in us, for what he does in one another, for what he does in our country even. But we have every reason to be thankful. And God wants us to be thankful even in a world of darkness, to be thankful. God is accomplishing his purposes. We may not understand all the things that are taking place in the world about us, but let us be a thankful people, because we know what God is doing in shining the light of his truth in our hearts and lives. So let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the blessings that you give. And we thank you that the blessings that you give, even in a world of darkness, are very real, very true. And you are leading and you are guiding and you are blessing. And we have every reason to be thankful for you, for your goodness, for your love, for your faithfulness. And we fall down at your feet, at the feet of Jesus, and worship him, because he is God. And we thank you for all that you're accomplishing and pray that you will bless. We pray for our country. We pray that you will protect this country and the other countries of the world from the darkness of sin and death and the darkness of the demonic world even. But we pray that you will protect. We pray that you would lead us and open the eyes of the blind to see that Jesus is the Son of God and that we as a nation have sinned grievously in walking away from you, and that we need the light of your truth. So we pray for the blessings that only you can give, and we thank you for giving those blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thankful for the one who is the Word from the beginning and the reason by which we can stand in his presence, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. This Trinity 4:32. Please stand.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, he, my Savior, makes me whole. Alleluia, what a Savior, alleluia, what a friend, saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is worth me to the end. Jesus, what a strength and weakness, let me hide myself in him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, he my strength, my victory wins. Alleluia, what a Savior, alleluia, what a friend, saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is worth me to the end. Jesus, what a helping sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, hear my comfort. comfort helps my soul. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a guide and keeper, while the tempest still is high. Storms about me night o'ertakes me, He my pilot hears my cry. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, I do now receive Him more than all. In Him I find He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end.
Please join us in our benediction.
From falling, and to make you stand in His presence, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory and the majesty, dominion and authority.